Okay, shalom aleichem, avoisai. We are in the middle. We are not in the middle. In the beginning of Shaar Yichud Ha'Maaseh. Shaar Yichud Ha'Maaseh, Perek Beis. Perek Beis. In the middle of the Perek. Yichud Ha'Maaseh again is the subject of learning to dedicate our actions exclusively to Hashem. The mitzvahs that we do are done only to please Hashem, with no agenda, with no intent, with no objective of pleasing anybody else. And the Chovetz Halvavos is laying down the premises for that in Perek Beis. What do you need to have in place in order to do that? So first of all, you have to have a profound, basically what he said in short was, you have to have been through the Sefer up till here in order to do that right. Namely, first of all, Yichud Elokim B'Lev Shalem, this is what we saw yesterday. You have to have a profound realization of Hashem. The next, number two was, he said there are 10 premises. Number two was Bechina, you have to have gone from realization of Hashem to learning to sense Hashem in the Bria, to sense Hashem in your life, such that Hashem has become something real for you. That's number two. Number three is that you feel committed to Hashem. And we want to come to a place where you're naturally, tangibly, you're dealing with the people who are around you. And you want to come to a place where your sense of Hashem overcomes that. Not only that, negates it. You become disinterested in the opinion, in the impression that you're making on the people around you because of the fact that you're focused on pleasing Hashem. So therefore, right, first you have to have a realization of Hashem, Shaar Yichud. Then you have to have a sense of His involvement in your life. It has to be something real and experienced for you. That's Shaar Bechina. Number three, you have to feel committed to Him. In other words, it's not enough that you sense Him, but it's more than that. You have to feel like you need to please Him. Otherwise, the urge to please the people around you is still going to be dominant. Number four is that you have to, besides the moral drive to please Hashem, you have to feel that you depend on Him more than you depend on the other people around you. Or in other words, that it's more important, it's more necessary to please Him than the people around you. And therefore, we come to bitachon. So that's Haravi. We're in the middle of this short perek, Perek Beis. Haravi sheyede bebitachon alav mebilti abruim. You have to be in a place where your trust, you feel like you're in Hashem's hands. You feel like Hashem. You have that trust in Hashem. Vachamishi. And here's where we're moving forward from what we were up to yesterday. Vachamishi. Sheyamin kiateles vanezek enum biyad nivro. You have to believe, you have to sense that no one can benefit you or hurt you. No one has the ability, and certainly no one has the control over hurting you or benefiting you. Unless Hashem wills it. In other words, it's the same idea. You are facing a situation where the question is, who should I be more focused on right now? Should I be more focused on this guy here or Hashem? So if you feel like, well, my parnasa depends on this guy, so I'll get back in touch with Hashem afterwards. Or this person is very important socially, and if I mess up with him, I'm not going to have a place in society. They say, no, you have to, a premise to being able to really dedicate what you're doing directly to Hashem is the sense that He has no say, He has no power over my welfare in any way. He can't hurt me, He can't benefit me. It's only Hashem making that decision. And therefore, it comes back to pleasing Hashem. Bashishi. Now we come to the next point. She is Shava Etzloi. This is already, this is a famous madrega that the Chavis Halvavis introduces. It's referred to as the Midas Hayishtavus. She is Shava Etzloi. A person should feel the same. If people praise him or disparage him, it bounces off you in the same way. This is not pashut. This is a sublime madrega that only almost sounds unrealistic. I think I've observed a person who actually was on this madrega. Rabbi Victor Miller, his responses, so I never actually saw personally him responding to an insult, but I heard about it, that there was one time somebody who he was, as he would often do, he was expressing an unpopular opinion in one of his shiurim, something that not everybody appreciated, and he always said it very, very bluntly and directly. And someone got up and yelled, "Rabbi, drop dead," middle of the shiur. So he just looked up without missing a beat. He looked up and responded like coolly and indifferently. He said, "That's the last thing I'll do." And then he went on. Get it? Right? And then he went on. Cool indifference. And I did see him responding that way to compliments. People come tell him, you know, what a great book he wrote and this and that. It was always like, there's just this cool indifference. You didn't see him get that pleased smile that we try not to do when we get complimented, right? Try to hold back the smile. It's just the same cool indifference. I just bounced off like this really just means nothing. So in other words, a person reaches a madrega where other people's opinions mean nothing to me. Now, this is something very high. I don't know if we can talk about aspiring to this just off the cuff, but let's at least introduce ourselves to the concept and know that it's out there. We had great people who are on this level. Then an insult and a compliment hit them in the same way. V'hashvi'i she'ya'azoiv ha'yipui livnei adam. You should make a point of not trying to make things appealing to people. Meaning, you're about to do a mitzvah and there are people around. And you can do something that will make it a little bit more noticeable or that will be more impressive. And you make a point of deciding, I'm not going to do it that way. Or if we'll try to put it into a little bit more of a practical perspective, to choose to do mitzvahs at a time when people don't know about it, at a time when people don't see you. You want to get used to the idea of moving out of the way, the element of impressing people, to take active steps to not be impressing people when you do something. You want to gain the exercise of consciously not impressing a person when I could have. Now, this gets tricky because this could lead a person to saying, well, then I won't do the mitzvah when there are other people around. No. The only way to do a mitzvah is when there are other people around to do the mitzvah and try to be mechaven l'shem shamayim. But what we are saying is, if there are situations where you can do it in such a way that won't be as impressive, that won't be noticed, etc., it's actually a valuable exercise. It's a valuable opportunity. Hashmini, another step toward this, is lefanos liboy mi iske ha'olam be'eishu oisa lo'olam haba. When a person is about to engage in some mitzvah, something that's geared toward olam haba, to take a moment and kind of step out of the material reality around you. Meaning often, let's say mitzvahs will come up in the context of our social interactions. And we just kind of roll into it, you know, with people around. This is part of a social interaction. And when you're interacting with people, you're very, very focused on them. So if you could just take a step back and say, you know what, right now I'm about to do a mitzvah. I'm moving out of the Olam HaZeh mentality. I'm not doing this in the context of Olam Hazeh. Right now, I'm doing this for Olam Haba. Give yourself that moment of thought. Now, right now, many mitzvahs that we do can mamish be just a part of the mundane material routine. Now, that's another subject. I'm not getting into that big subject right now. I'm just getting more into the specific point of when it's done in a social context, you want to be able to take a step back and say, I'm not just going to roll into this automatically. I'm about to do a mitzvah now. When I'm doing a mitzvah, my focus is, this mitzvah is geared toward Olam Haba, not geared toward the reality that's going on around me right now.
It's just an important footnote, because this could be slippery also, because a lot of times in the name of a mitzvah, the Shem Shemaim, I can trample over somebody in the way, and no shortage of examples. So we're living in a world and we have to take people into consideration at every moment that we're around people.
Oh.
But I would think that Kozman, because then again, that would be Gufa Rasan Hashem. The Tarej is the
oh.
So,
yeah.
So as long as doing Rasan Hashem, which includes also caring about Rafa Kumarcha, don't like dodge for the place, whatever it is, and trample over on the chaver on the way. So as long as it doesn't negate Ratzon Hashem, as long as it's, then that's good for Ratzon Hashem. And then comes Motzachem Ben Elohim Ve'adam.
Shlomo is making a good point. I'm going to repeat the point that you're saying, and that is that often, if we're going to make a positive focus out of not trying to please the people around us, we may actually end up insulting them. Does it mean that you're supposed to completely blot out the fact that there are people here? This can get very tricky. So I want to use an example to bring out this point. Let's say there's a person who's down and you want to tell them something to lift their spirits. That's a mitzvah. Now, how are you going to go about this business? Oh, well, I don't want to please the person, but the mitzvah is to please the person. How are you going to do that? Right? I'm not going to feel. I shouldn't be pleasing people, so therefore, let me not do that. Maybe we'll write. We'll knock out the whole concept of giving people good feelings, because that's not what you're supposed to try to be doing when you're doing a mitzvah. How do you bring the two together? So really, and this is really the point that you made, but this is the way to think of it. Think of it as a mashal like this: when you are sitting with your boss. Okay, having an important meeting. Now, this is a guy that you want to stay on his good side. You want to please him. Okay? And in such a case, in those sorts of cases, right? He gives you a good, generous salary, etc. And all of a sudden, his little kid comes in. So, you are going to want to... This boss likes his kid, right? Not quite aware of what a brat the kid is, but this boss likes his kid. He would like to see you relate positively to the kid. You're going to now come and try to give the kid a good time. Why? Because you know that that's going to make your boss happy. So yeah, you are going to try to give the kid a good time. But the purpose is you want to make your boss happy. So this gets a little tricky, because if you're only going to be thinking Hashem when you're busy trying to make a human being happy, you're going to be distracted and you're not really going to be focused on him. But the idea is at least to have a general framework of, why am I doing this? I'm not doing this just because I'm a nice guy. I'm doing this because this is a beloved child of Hashem. Hashem wants him to be happy. If Hashem wants him to be happy, I want to make him happy. Now, focus on him and see what you can do to make him happy. Now, this also gets a little tricky. This all has to be broken down, because it's not exactly so. Because part of the objective of Bein Adam L'Chaver is to actually be feeling the person when you're doing it. Now, you want to be feeling the person and helping him with that. So you know what? Yeah, these are all challenges here. We'll have to perhaps develop the points a little further as we go along. But this is the broad mashal. I am trying to please Hashem by pleasing those who he wants to be happy. Okay, we'll end here for tonight. Be'ezras Hashem.